A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to this. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby doesn't take itself all the game too seriously. I am located in the rugby dungeon with Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Jonathan.
And of course, down the line is Timothy. Hello, Timothy.
Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, of course, what we've done is we've faded Tim down. We'll fade him back up. Hello, Timothy.
Hello, gentlemen.
Will I ever learn? And of course, because I have not introduced myself yet, I am JB. You can follow us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, which is what, Tim?
Egg Chasers Rugby. Soon to be just Egg Chasers, right?
Something like that. I'm sure it will happen one day. Yep. And on Facebook too, where you can find loads of great content. So, gents, how's your Christmas been?
Very good. Very good for me. Very quiet, but lots of craft ale and lots of whiskey as well.
Really?
So very good for me.
I got incredibly drunk yesterday and I'm really feeling it today.
How was yours, Tim?
This has been the Christmas, in terms of alcohol, it's been the Christmas of gin. No salty kiss anywhere.
Good, ooh, good.
Not so sure about that.
Sounds like you've been a very good boy.
I do feel, I haven't been, because there's one thing I forgot to do on our last podcast that would have been perfect pre-Christmas that I'm going to do now, however. We got an email to contacteggchasers@gmail.com from Peter Hayward Shaw, who is a listener from America. He's the guy that created the quiz Fijian player or medical condition.
Well, Dr. Peter Shaw, I'll have you know.
Yes. He's also an author of a rugby book called The Passion of the Scrum. And he wrote us a poem called The Night Before an Egg Chaser Christmas.
Oh, interesting.
Which I will just rattle through now. So imagine this is Christmas Eve, okay?
Okay.
Twas the night before Christmas in the rugby dungeon, only JB was still stirring our favourite curmudgeon.
What?
The jerseys were hung on the walls with great care from Jaguares and Lions with no room to spare. Phil with his laptop soon was there, flexing stats and biceps in his plush leather chair. Tim ran downstairs, just escaped from the container, pre-taping his radio show was a real no-brainer. The patron saint from Namibia came running down the block, leaving zebra meat and Sari's caps. Boy, we miss Jacques. Tim's empathy expressed, Phil smoothing all friction with quizzes and banter and JP's prediction. The pod is a gift for fans winter through fall, as sure as the sport has an egg-shaped ball. Egg chaser jerseys were hung by the fireplace upstairs, with hoops and no adverts and salty kiss to spare. Nigel Owens popped in, a Father Christmas from Wales, bringing cheeky decisions and much better ales. As Nigel sped off with his scrum sled of a sleigh, he yelled into the dungeon, "Just let the boys play."
Bravo, bravo.
Yes.
Superb.
So thank you, Peter. I think we may have to get... he said he lives in America, can't make it to Spain.
Oh.
But I think we might have to... I think we might have to furnish him with some kind of egg chaser's attire of some kind for that effort.
We'll send him a tie and a bag full of T-shirts. There we go.
Well done, Peter. Thank you very much. We are contacteggchasers@gmail.com.
Let's kick off, shall we, with what I think the most important result. Not the most important result. Yeah, the most important result of the weekend. Certainly the most impressive for me.
Saracens Leicester?
Nope.
Wasps Gloucester?
I'll tell you what, it's come to something, hasn't it, when we kick off with the Pro 14 and Scottish Rugby. Edinburgh beating Glasgow.
Yeah.
With 14 men and without Hamish Watson.
14 men for 74 minutes.
Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, That is a hell of a result.
Yeah, I actually couldn't believe it. I mean, it was quite a boring game. Not boring. It was quite a... It's quite a hard-fought game. It wasn't a particularly expansive rugby, to put it mildly. But I loved the grit.
Exciting, though.
Sorry?
Exciting, though.
Yeah, yeah. In that kind of gritty way.
Yeah. Mm. Well, when you're... So, in pretty awful conditions, as in late December Edinburgh weather, and with 14 men for the vast majority of the game, and when Glasgow are unbeaten in the Pro 14...
I know, it's amazing.
And Edinburgh are just...
Edinburgh.
Another Pro 14 side. It was never going to be the most attractive game. But
no.
to get the result is it's real testament to that Edinburgh side and to Richard Cockerell.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. And what's the name of the fellow that got sent off? I don't have my phone with me, Tim, because I lost it last night.
It is Bergen.
One of those nights.
Sorry? Oh, yeah, left it in a taxi, mate. Yeah, the majority of Glasgow's points were scored when he was on the field.
Well, yeah, Glasgow scored after 2 minutes.
Yep.
4 minutes after that, so they're 7-0 up. 4 minutes after that, Edinburgh lose a man.
Yep, and then the only thing they did anything after that, Glasgow complete implosion. I wonder if it's kind of the knock-on effect from such a hard European Cup for them.
Possibly, but they did at least in the last game in the European Cup. They took the opportunity to rest a few players because they'd lost 3 from 3.
Mm.
You can rest your players.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
Just one of those on any given Sunday kind of things, wasn't it? And this is what's great about these derby matchups over the Christmas period. This is what the Pro 14 could be.
Exactly, Tim. As I say over and over again, there was also another huge result which no one's mentioned, and it is huge.
Did Benetton beat Zebre?
Benetton did beat Zebre. They've got one hell of a winger. I want to call him Espedito, but it's not. It's S something or other. He is. Do you know, we did the rank? Did we do it on the podcast? Or we did it. Do it in the pub. The ranking of really good yet slow wingers. We did it on the train to Dublin.
We did. Yeah.
Ranking of slow but good wingers.
Yeah.
This guy
past
is.
Past and present.
Sorry.
Past and present.
Yeah, like. Yeah. Let me think. Someone like David James.
Shane
Hogan. Perfect.
Shane Hogan's a great example. Yeah.
Matt Banahan, although he is quite fast. I mean, they're all quite fast, but they're not fast for wingers.
Yeah, they're not Johnny May fast or Anthony Watson fast.
Or Charlie Walker fast, no?
Charlie Walker.
Yeah, well, this guy is in that mould, and I'll be very surprised if he's not starting for Italy. Come the Six Nations. Really good player.
Esposito.
Is that how you say his name?
Is how it's spelled.
Zito sounds about right.
It's something like a... what's his name?
No idea, mate.
Yeah, ignore me.
Happily. No.
A result I'd mentioned then, as you've mentioned a couple. The other one to mention that would have been off everyone's radar, most amazing score of the week. London Scottish 52.
Oh, yes!
52.
52 all draw.
Yeah. I actually spoke to Jonathan Mills straight after the game. Well, no, I texted him because he put 52 all. Horrible game of rugby. I was like, that is a joke. Because, of course, our good friend Jonathan Mills is now working at London Scottish as their forwards coach. And
playing.
Yeah, that is... it's quite something when you come to 32 all. How about... the fourth place team going into the weekend, or the third place team going into the weekend, coming very unstuck in what I would say is the loudest AJ Bell Stadium I have been to in about 3 years.
Did they have a few fans in?
Yeah, 7,000.
Mm.
So pretty good, atmosphere, and Sale absolutely man-shamed Bath.
It was, from what I've seen, it was all Sale.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. First half, it was a first half, Bath were okay. Second half, Sale just opened up on him completely.
Do you think this is going to be, or this should be the lineup with James O'Connor playing 15? Because he looked good at 15, and he can come in as a second playmaker, which is something you lose when you've got Rohan.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll see Rohan, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know the answer, because he wants to play 10. He's come.
Does he?
Expressly as a 10.
Okay.
So you stop putting him at 15. Not only do you have less EQP players on the field, but you're also going to be upsetting Mike Haley, who needs more game time. It looks like it's their strongest lineup, but I don't know if that's something they're going to continue with.
Yeah.
And also, they can't really get rid of AJ McGinty because, one, he's excellent, and two, he gets a lot of kicks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good problem to have at the moment, but we'll see how good they really are next week when they go down to Gloucester.
And Gloucester.
Just one question. We'll get on to that in a sec. Just one question. Did either of you get the British Lions DVD for Christmas?
No, actually.
I didn't. I've seen...
No, nor did I. I couldn't believe this. I didn't even bother putting it on my list when people asked because I thought I'll probably get four copies. I didn't get one.
Did you not?
Yeah.
No. It's a scandal. Maybe I'll download it tonight.
I know.
I'm a bit disappointed that I've not got it.
Yeah. Apparently, there's lots of Owen Farrell talking to the team in it.
That doesn't surprise me.
Lots of Owen Farrell practicing for his future role, which is England coach.
Yeah. Doing some coaching. Him and Johnny just basically being backs.
Yeah.
Auxiliary backs and attack coaches.
I could honestly see the day when Johnny Sexton is coaching Ireland and Owen Farrell is coaching England via Leinster and via Saracens, respectively.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that as well.
Write that on your whiteboard, Tim. That.
Yes, I will do that. Hey, there was another Christmas tradition as well. Premier Rugby dishing out a £60,000 fine to Bath for Tulupe Faletau officially now.
Wow.
That's like, you know, it's the festive season when Faletau's incurring Bath a fine.
All right, I know I said this before. I'll say it again. Why not? Repetition is reputation at the end of the day. this should be counted against Bath's salary cap if that's still enforced. I don't know if that's an old-fashioned idea now. But it should be counted against their cap. So not only do you have to pay the £60,000, if it then breaches the cap, you're going to have to pay further fines in line with the cap.
Yeah.
That's the only way they'll take it seriously.
Yeah, because otherwise they just pay the £60,000.
Yeah.
Although it might not matter from next year or possibly the year after if Faletau does go back to Wales.
Exactly. Well, I just don't get this. I just don't understand it because the argument is you're weakening the brand of the Premiership, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's only one game, so they really are kicking up a lot of fuss. It almost feels spiteful by Premier Rugby doing this.
Yeah.
Rather than actually meaningful in any way. Having international players in your league representing their country is only good for your league.
Yeah. I
disagree with that because this is outside of the whole international structure of their international window.
Yeah, but it's one game. I mean, I don't understand it if Wales had a series of six games. But one game, it just strikes me as a bit odd. But here's the other part, right? If they're making a big song and dance about the one game because it weakens the value of the Premiership, why don't they crack down on training camps? Because if these players are away from their Premiership squads because they're training with their national squads, surely that's weakening the Premiership too.
But they really...
I think it's less about weakening the Premiership and it could be just as much about it making it not hard and fast and black and white in terms of salary and money and all of that. It makes it shady.
How do you mean? Explain that.
Well, because you can offer a player that you can go, oh, well, I'll tell you what, we'll pay you a little bit less, but we'll let you go away and play with your country outside sanctioned windows.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
But there again, I mean, they need to be injured and they don't pick up the match fee, so it's not a great way of negotiating.
No, I think Premier Rugby are doing this kind of with honourable intent and to, in their mind, strengthen the brand of the league.
Yeah.
The problem with it is kind of the point you were alluding to slightly earlier, Jay. They might end up cutting off their nose to spite their face.
Yeah.
Because if this forces Bath to stop releasing Tulupe Faletau, and that is what forces Tulupe Faletau to go to Wales, to go to the Dragons, well then you don't just lose him for one game, you lose him for 22 games next season.
Yeah, and that is maybe Bath's best player.
And it could be, he could be joined by Liam Williams, and he could be joined by Owen Williams, and Moriarty's already going back. So it might actually have a more negative effect than it does positive effect in the long run.
Yeah, so I just don't see why they have to levy these fines. Allegedly, the George North fine, which is like the original one.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Wales played Australia to see if they could get seeded in the World Cup?
Yeah.
In that game, well, they got fined, I think, $90,000 or
$120,000? No, it was 60. It was the same fine.
Was it? Yeah. Now, the rumour about that fine was It was fined for that game and all subsequent games in advance because they couldn't stop him going to play for Wales.
I like it. Maybe like with every year, if this is a tradition, the £60,000, it'll be, you know how sometimes if you buy a house, on the deeds it says you have to pay a ground rent of
leasehold.
One shilling to the town, the mayor, or whatever it is. Yeah, it might be something like that. Many years from now, this £60,000 will be ceremonial Christmas tradition.
There'll be a ceremonial, what? Enormous check from Bruce Craig to Premier Rugby.
Yeah.
Where does the money go?
So it'll go to Premier Rugby.
Does it?
It's Premier Rugby that have fined them.
So if you've got an issue, right?
Craig's salty kiss for the Premier Rugby Christmas party.
Bloody hell, that's one hell of a champagne Friday. So if you've A, got a problem with revenue, and B, with internal league discipline, why don't they get someone like a commissioner to levy these fines, but actually pay him commission as well for the discrepancies that he finds?
So he's incentivized to find as many as possible.
Yeah, really clean up the league. That'd be a great one for him. 60K, 5% of that, or 10% of that. Cheers.
Hey, listen, let me change subject slightly in terms about cleaning up the leagues. Did you see how confused Phil? We've talked about JB's teams, Sale, Treviso,
Orgy City,
and his former love, Bath.
Bath.
But what about Phil's beloved Ulster? Did you see Les Kiss complaining about the structure, saying he's confused about the structure of the Pro 14?
Oh, I didn't.
After the Connacht.
Oh, my word. Well, if he is, he shouldn't be a director of rugby. Simple as that.
I didn't see the Les Kiss interview. To be honest, I'm trying to bury my head in the sand after this game and just ignore.
Yeah.
Just try and pretend it never happened.
What was it? 53?
That was going to be my point. I'll simplify things for Les Kiss. Losing by 28 points is not how to not qualify for playoffs.
Yeah, it's as simple as it gets. You lose in a derby by 28 points, 44-16, and you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I mean, there's no structure that can save them in this scenario.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, I was, and it's fairly simple, the structure as well. Especially when it's your job, you shouldn't be confused.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I just want to punt it out there. Things that confuse Les Kiss.
Well, yeah.
Feel free to tweet us at Rugby Podcast. Things that confuse Les Kiss.
Yeah, it's
like, why do we only see one side of the moon? The same side of the moon all the time.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, he is talking like he works at CERN or somewhere. It is straightforward.
Les Kiss, I saw a great message on this. Les Kiss, they said, Les Kiss has his suitcase lock combination as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. he's a really bit of a master tactician, but he's having a bad time of it at Ulster, I've got to say.
Yeah, not doing well. And it was a strong team. It should have been a strong enough team.
Why are Ulster so weak? Because they're not a bad team, are they? They've got really good players. They've got a really good coach. They've got a great fan base.
They've got a couple of very good coaches.
Ball carrying 8-10.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's
influential positions.
It's a slightly more than that because the tight five is pretty flaky as well. So you strengthen the tight five. Like, Hendo's brilliant, but the rest of the tight five is not great. Fly half is a problem position, and ball carrying eight. We've got two pretty expensive South African ball carrying eights, and we just can't get either one of them on the park.
Ugh.
So,
Lia Leofano, what's going to go on with him when he leaves? Who's going to step in?
I don't know.
And John, I tell you who in the same situation as Ulster, Worcester. What's going to happen when John
O'Lance
leaves?
Oh, I think they're both trying to keep them.
Oh, desperately, I'd imagine.
But I don't know what the situation, because John O'Lance presumably is more complicated, because Western Force don't exist anymore, do they?
Oh.
So does he have a club to go back to?
That's a good question. I don't know. I thought he was...
Alan Solomons will know.
Oh, do you want to talk about this?
He will know. Apparently he's signed for the Rebels, John O'Lance.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
So what's he going to do? Be second choice there or something?
I don't know who's first choice.
No, not off the top of my head.
Don't know.
Money talk. money talks. We may not have heard the end of that particular story yet. So, but stick a pin in it and we'll come back to it.
I've got a question for you. What kind of brief did the Worcester board put together, meaning that the outcome or the answer to their question is Alan Solomons?
Available coaches?
Available and expensive? Mustn't have won much ever?
Yeah.
Called Alan?
Maybe the most disappointing news I've heard, I don't know, since I've been covering rugby? I mean, that's how underwhelming this appointment is.
Well, so I was probably more underwhelmed by Leicester going back to Matt O'Connor.
At least, you know, Matt O'Connor has actually won stuff and has actually done well, and there's links to the club, and, you know, relatively speaking, he's quite young. Alan Solomons is 68, I
67,
think.
Yeah.
That's, and has bounced around from club to club. Now, the one thing I will say about Alan Solomon, I don't know if it's just how it's panned out, if he mentioned it, he has taken on tough jobs. He hasn't had a single good job from what I can see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there might be something in that, i.e., you know, he's used to taking on tough situations and he's the kind of guy that will do it. That could work in his favour. But on the other hand...
He is rugby's answer to Sam Allardyce, isn't he?
Sam Allardyce is good, though.
Just save this team from relegation or just come into this... Maybe not Sam Allardyce. Who was the football managers that will always just go to like struggling teams who need digging out of a hole?
Well, Sam Allardyce is that exact man.
He's probably the best example of that, as in he's one of the few ones that's successful in doing it. Whereas like Steve Bruce, Pardew, Mark Hughes, not good. Yeah.
Do you know what I would have done if I was Worcester? And this might sound daft because obviously I'm not on the inside and I'm sure people that know better than me think this is daft. I think I'd have handed it over to Sam Vesti.
Interesting.
He's done a good job with the attack. I mean, the attack is genuinely good.
The attack is very good.
There's a
big, big, big step up to being a DOR, though. Because DOR is not actually doing hands-on coaching.
Yeah, but why not? I mean, you know, the reason I thought this is because kind of, as Phil was pointing out there with the football coaches, there's five names that keep on moving about and they don't blood any new coaches. Well, if they've got a guy in situ... And by the way, what does this mean for Carl Hogg? Because Carl Hogg is always kind of promoted and relegated, continually.
Will he just go back to his kind of normal coaching role?
Yeah. Which I'm surprised that they didn't line him up as a DOR, but, I mean, I might be talking out of turn here. Maybe they don't rate him so highly. You have to assume they don't.
Maybe he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants the hands-on coaching role. Because some people won't want to step up. They'll want to be involved with the lads on the pitch rather than kind of in the boardroom and in the back.
Yeah, do you know what? I have got the most amazing plan for a rugby club who would ever listen. Who would listen to me?
I guess we're going to have to.
Absolutely, because it's my podcast and you've got to listen to what I have to say. All right.
My podcast.
What if you had a DOR who had nothing to do with rugby, with no rugby background?
Yeah.
Zero, okay? Zero coaching background, but just did the numbers, the salary cap, the scouting, the systems, the processes, the contracts... Everything not
Moneyball that bitch.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's the kicker. What if you just employed a woman? The first woman DOR would be the biggest draw for the media. You would be all over the front pages and the back pages, and you'd have one of the biggest names in sport overnight, certainly in UK sport.
Interesting. So Australia have just appointed a woman as
CEO of
Australian rugby, haven't they?
Yes. Which is quite good, but this is a DOR.
Yeah,
does all the camera work? Does absolutely get them from somewhere like KPMG or a big legal firm, HR background, bang,
or CEO, like chief exec, type background.
It would be one of the best appointments ever done, and it'd be an instant success overnight.
Well, it'd be an instant success off the field.
Yeah,
you could see
what you're saying, Phil. You say women don't know anything about rugby. Is that what you're saying,
mate?
Phil?
You racist,
that's definitely
bigot.
Not what I'm saying.
Racist, bigots, homophobe. That's our Phil.
What I'm saying is the fans would very quickly turn if results didn't come.
Yeah.
I don't mean that for a woman's perspective. If it's a man, whoever it is, if they've got no rugby experience, the fans will just correlate the no rugby experience with any loss.
Yeah.
So that will just get the blame for whatever negative performance happens.
Yeah, I wonder what the Worcester fans would want at the moment. Alan Solomons or my mega woman CEO?
let's just say a high profile. You can have Karen Brady or Alan Solomons.
But Karen Brady's a great example.
Yeah, she's got the sporting background as well.
There you go. So that's another way that I've saved rugby.
I'd probably take Brady over Solomons, to be honest.
I think I would.
as long as she's got a good coaching team.
Yeah.
Give me Brady.
Ooh, let's talk about another coach then, as we're bouncing all over the show. First ever French coach to be fired.
This is, I think disappointed is probably my initial reaction.
And though mine's deserved, but then disappointed with the successor, I guess.
Well, so France didn't have a good autumn internationals.
No.
They lost twice to South Africa, a very poor South Africa, lost expectedly to a good New Zealand, and then drew with Japan, mm-hmm. which is very disappointing. But before that, they'd shown bits of promise.
Yeah.
And the bit I don't understand is, you know exactly what you're getting from Guy Novès.
Yeah.
As in, how many years has he been at the top flight? 20-odd, more than 20-odd. So just to fire him after kind of what felt like three bad results or three disappointing results, even though you're pointing him for a reason, he was showing some of that promise, they've slipped back a little bit, and then you fire him.
Yeah.
I wanted the consistency, I wanted them to stick to their guns on the original appointment.
Well, I think you can fire anyone at any time, providing you've got a good replacement.
That is another good point.
Now, I'm not sure it's a bad replacement, but it feels like more of the same. It feels like an old-timer who's been around. Having said that, Bordeaux, are no laughing matter. You know, they're a good team. So maybe they have got a good guy there. But do you know who his assistants are?
No.
This is a staggering comment. Do you know, Tim?
No, all I've seen is Jacques Brunel. I've not read the whole story.
So I say a staggering comment because Jacques Brunel will be in charge.
Yeah.
And he'll be assisted by a handful, five to six coaches of top 14, from the top 14.
Wow.
So not actual assistants.
So just no permanent appointments.
No.
Wow.
So that's kind of like having, on one day, going to work and working for Todd Blackadder. Next day, bringing your kit and Steve Diamond's waiting for you with his dog. You know, like, how do you know that these things are all going to mesh?
Yeah. That sounds like an even worse idea.
Yeah, just mix it up.
And Jacques Brunel, so the longest standing appointment I can remember of him was Italy.
Yes.
And he was, I'm sure he got a few results in that time, but he certainly never, there was never a big turnaround and there was never anything, I don't know, that it never felt like there was a consistent upward trend.
Yeah, some early promise and then same old disappointing Italy.
Yeah, basically.
Well, it's strange, but then France are in a kind of, they've got to roll the dice and do something. But we've only got 6 weeks, 7 weeks to wait. Mm. 6 weeks to wait until his first game. So oh,
God, and then more France rebuilding. This is going to take a couple of years for him to get into place. And it's an absolute disaster, actually.
Yeah, we need a strong South Africa. We need a strong France.
Definitely.
Do we need, or do France need, a coach with a French passport? That isn't a joke. That is a serious question. Because everyone else has appointed foreign coaches. Are France, with all their high and mighty talk about passport holders playing for France, do they require the same thing from their coach?
Officially, probably not, but they will most likely take the stance that it has to be a Frenchman.
Mm. Why not the La Rochelle coach?
I don't even know who it is.
I say La Rochelle coach because his name escapes me. I'm sure it's never mind.
Patrice Colazzo.
Patrice Colazzo, that's one.
Right, what rugby did you see in the build-up in the few days before Christmas? We had the Boxing Day Pro 14 games. We mentioned Glasgow, Edinburgh.
Saw it all.
But of the Avicii games, what did you enjoy?
Me and JB on the Christmas Eve, I think it was Christmas Eve.
It was Christmas Eve.
Watched Leicester Tigers versus Saracens, which was an excellent game.
With a bottle of Moe. True story.
JB treated me.
Exactly.
Very decadent.
It was very decadent, actually.
Champagne saucers, not flutes.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this game. So it's kind of billed beforehand as the two struggling teams in the Premiership, both on historic losing runs. And it kind of went as I was expecting. Saracens were... They started very, very strongly.
Yep.
And then Leicester slowly worked their way back into it. And then Johnny May got red carded. For two slapdowns, two deliberate knock-ons. Which, the first one was definitely a yellow card. I can't help but thinking the second one was a little bit harsh. And then Saracens just kind of finished the job, didn't they? As you expect they would.
I mean, from memory, okay? Because it feels like a lifetime has gone since I watched this game. But I don't think Saracens scored... I mean, in terms of tries, I think it was 2-3 or 2-2.
Two all.
Yeah. It was the silly indiscipline from Leicester.
Yeah.
And that's what killed them. I mean, even... like, the Leicester pack, I felt, was well on top. The scrimmaging was brilliant.
There's periods of that second half where they were just marching the Saracens pack. And the Saracens pack when, like... Figolo got yellow carded. Yeah. So, right, who's your backup? Oh, it's Vincent Koch.
Oh, brilliant.
Right, brilliant. He will definitely solidify this scrum. Nope.
Absolutely not. I thought Leicester were so superior in the scrum. And I think Matt Carley... Was it Matt Carley who was reffing?
I can't remember. Was it?
I think he had a bit of a nightmare because he should have yellow carded...
Mako, yeah.
And at the same time, he should have given the penalty try.
Yeah, when they'd scored kind of 20 minutes to go, Leicester got that.
Because he gave the penalty try, he let off Mako from the yellow card. Whereas Johnny May gave the yellow card and the penalty try.
Yeah, right. So just briefly on this one, Matt O'Connor after the game and everyone pretty much said, yeah, that's the way games are refereed now. And that's a yellow card. However, do you want a yellow card?
Do you know what?
If you could just rewrite the rules today, and not just because Johnny May got two of them, do you want that to be a yellow card?
Yes.
So if it's a cynical slapdown, so
yeah, I don't think either of them were.
I think the first one, his hand went down. The second one, I wouldn't have given a yellow card for the second one because I don't think.
Where do you draw the line in terms of, you know, you're explaining to someone why one was a yellow and one wasn't? What line do you draw?
Right. So I think my opinion is it should be a yellow card almost instantaneously for giving away any penalty when you're defending your own 5 metre line.
That's like the opposite of let the boys play.
No, I'm a big fan of cards for technical infringements. I'm not a big fan of cards for violence, basically, or, you know, things which are, you know, high shots and fisticuffs and things which make the game great. But for technical infringements, I'm happy to give yellow cards almost instantly for. You know, particularly if it's your second time as a team doing the same offence, two offsides, second guy gets a yellow. They'd soon sort it out. So I've no problem with it.
For the deliberate knock-on, I would say anything where there's a downward motion with a hand, anything where the intent is clear and the intent is not to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Or
we know what a slap or swat looks like, but we've all played rugby, so this is what doesn't get me. Like, how fast it happens.
Yeah.
When a ball comes across you, instinctively, from ever since Johnny May would have been 5 years of age, and any of us would have done it, you reach. And you reach for the ball.
And the other thing is, how many of those tries has Johnny May scored? So maybe it's just his comeuppance for scoring so many in the past.
So many intercepts.
Yeah. So I've got no problem with it, but I do understand.
I don't think the intent... In the vast majority of those occasions, it's just motor memory, instinctive reaction, and the ball comes across you. You reach for the ball. That's just what you do.
That's exactly what I think he did in the second one. I'm clear in the second one. It wasn't a deliberate knock on.
Yeah, and I'm not actually sure if a deliberate knock on with no try scoring opportunity warrants the yellow outside of the five meters.
Yeah, I mean, there's no try scoring opportunity.
Yeah, it's just, well, knock on.
Just play on.
Or penalty.
Yeah, penalty seems fine. There was what I really hate, though. Kirtley Beale did it in the Autumn Internationals.
Was this the carding stuff?
Where he deliberately slapped it down. It was a clear slap down.
Yep.
And then he said to the ref, no, I was trying to hit it up. I was like motioning up. I'd say, right.
Come on.
This is where I go back to my, well, you double down then, Kirtley. If you're saying that to me.
Yes.
We'll review it. If you're right, we'll play on. If not, it's a red card because you've slapped down and you've lied to me.
I think as well, if you do that, you should have decision pending. Do you know the way we used to use the Jeopardy music?
Yeah.
Like the Jeopardy music should like fill the stadium. Red card! Yay! So
yeah, make it like a real pantomime villain in that occasion.
Yeah, definitely.
Everyone boos him off the field if you lie and then get caught out lying.
Tell you what, I thought Manapola, that's the one.
Yeah,
was absolutely exceptional.
Yeah,
best player on the park.
That front row were brilliant.
I also thought Leicester. I don't know why they're doing it, but their back row has no balance, and Matt O'Connor does not like to change his team.
Well, that back row is enormous.
Yeah, but it's no good.
But they're just three big lumps. There's no dynamism.
I'm still confused why Leicester fans think that Callum Mifone was the answer to their ball carrying crisis. He's not.
No.
I mean, he's sluggish. He's just
equally. Let's just remind ourselves that Eddie Jones thinks of Mike Williams as a seven, and had he not got injured, may well have been capped as such.
I think you're right. I think that he would have been capped.
That is astonishing to me. Because every time I watch him, I just think he's a very, very poor man's Don Armand.
Yeah, he's a
very, very poor man. As in, I'm only really putting him in the same category because they're about the same size.
Yeah.
And they both play
well,
back
row. He's a big, hard unit, isn't he? He's unflashy. I think Mapalangi, on the other hand, is a really quality operator. The thing is, they've got a great guy on the bench in O'Connor. The flanker, Brendan O'Connor.
Yeah,
who I think is a really good operator. I don't know why they don't use him.
Has he not been coming back from injury?
I don't know, but he was on the bench this week, and that to me is their seven through and through. The sooner they get him back, the better. But other than that, the back row just looked sluggish, and it just didn't do anything.
They've got another in the similar mold to O'Connor in Will Evans. The young seven.
He started strongly, but kind of died away a bit.
He is a proper seven, as in he's athletic, he's dynamic, he's got good hands, good turn of pace, can scavenge for the ball, but doesn't look like they want to use him.
Yeah, I tell you what, hats off as well for the Thompson offload for the...
Oh, round the
Tate's
back.
Try?
For Tate, yeah.
Dynamite.
Yeah, that was class.
All in that. How was the game, Tim? What was the atmosphere like there from the Tigers fans after the loss and from Matt O'Connor?
The fans were not happy.
Yeah.
The atmosphere was electric. Just short of 25,000 people were there.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is absolutely brilliant. And it was rocking. Matt O'Connor was really disappointed. I think Leicester have got big problems. I mean, yeah, their midfield axis needs to bed in. Then it's not there yet, and when it does,
yeah, it was showing flashes. You know, it looked at times very promising. They just couldn't quite. And the Saracens, even though they're on a losing streak, they are probably still the best defensive team in Europe. If not, they're one of the two or three or five best. You know, they're up there.
The thing I took away from that the most was the reaction of the Saracens players when they won. It was like they'd won a cup final. The way they were so, I think it was relief. It was coming out the other end of this horrible little situation.
Yeah.
But you could tell for all the talk, and I think they meant it, that they're calm, they're not panicking. Like, it was huge for them.
Yeah. Mm. I think you're right about that. It really was. The run of losses and... Regardless of what we've said about the Leicester Tigers team and the lack of balance and some of the positions where they're weak, it is still Leicester Tigers with half a dozen genuine stars and genuine international players at Wilford Road. So it's still a good, a very good victory for Saracens.
completely agree. Just whilst talking about Saracens, I've just had another thought, which is, why didn't Worcester approach someone like Sanderson for a DOR job?
They might have done.
His name has got to be up there on a lot of lists for a DOR role sooner rather than later. Maybe in Sale Sharks, who knows?
I wonder if he'll go down that route or whether he'd be another one who prefers to be on the paddock with the lads.
Well, do you know what? I mean, he's a defence coach, ultimately. And I, as much as I like him, in the same way that I really like Andy Farrell,
yeah,
I've now come to the conclusion that you can't give defence coaches any other job other than defence coach. Because I could coach defence, come to think of it. Like,
as you keep reminding us.
Line speed, enthusiasm. Line speed, enthusiasm.
His CV is racking up a load of accolades along with those other Saracens coaches. It's much like Exeter Chiefs, you know. I'm sure Northampton would have half an eye on someone like Ali Heifer, but
yeah,
you know what side your bread's buttoned on. As we talked about before, I think Alex Sanderson knows he's in a very good place at that organisation.
Yes.
Gus Dodd has been taking training again at Northampton.
Interesting.
Yep.
Continues to do so. That's another guy who, again, they're all Saracens defence coaches. Saracens defence coaches are now like defensive coordinators for the Ravens. They all end up being a head coach somewhere else. But that is another guy who I suspect should be looking at a DOR post sooner rather than later.
Yeah, if he's interested.
If he's interested, of course. Mind you, who wouldn't be? There's only a handful of these jobs in the world.
Yeah.
So when one comes available, you best take it.
But then if you feel that that's outside your kind of area of expertise and sphere of competence...
Yeah, it's that Peter principle, isn't it? You get promoted to a level of incompetence.
Yeah, and you feel that you're going to get found out.
A World Cup, like Paul Gustav, could end up being a World Cup winning defence coach.
That is very true.
Do you think Lancaster, if he had his time again, would take the England job?
Yeah.
I think he probably would. I think if I was Stuart Lancaster, I wouldn't take the England job.
I think what you're trying to ask is, should they have given him the England job?
Well, not even that. It's should he have taken it?
I'd advise him not to.
Yeah,
no,
I would also...
Why, do you know why he should do it, right? Because all these paths have kind of led Stuart Lancaster to a good place.
You're right.
We would not have known really much about Stuart Lancaster at all had he not had the England job.
Yeah.
Let alone would he be able to up sticks, go to Atlanta Falcons, embed himself in loads of organisations, turn himself into some sort of coaching guru, be living in Dublin, coaching one of the best teams on the planet, in a job which he's made up for himself.
I think history may judge him a little bit more kindly than it has done in the sense that he has actually. Eddie Jones could not have done the job he did without Stuart Lancaster doing some of the things he did. In the pressure cooker of a World Cup,
I do.
Stuart Lancaster wasn't able to cope because he didn't have the experience to go to know how to cope in that environment. However, Martin Johnson, Andy Robinson, Brian Ashton got to a World Cup final, was a Mark Cueto try away from winning it, so maybe I'll take him out of it. But there was 5-6 years in the wilderness. Stuart Lancaster laid the foundations that Eddie Jones has built on. Eddie Jones, if he'd come in instead of Stuart Lancaster, I don't think England would be where they are 2 years on.
I think they might even be further along. You don't know, do you? You don't know. Stuart Lancaster undoubtedly did some good things.
He should get he should get some quite a lot of credit, and probably more credit than he ever will do.
No, I disagree. As an international coach, I've got to say it, he was an abject failure.
Oh no, he was, but he should get some credit for the groundwork that he's done.
As a coach, as a guy who you'd put into an organisation, I think he's top notch. But just not a good tactician. I think that's what you need at the highest level of the international game. You need someone to put in a structure. Like, he could be a good team manager, do you know what I mean? Or a coach of a certain aspect of the game. But the DOR or the head coach role of an international team, or even of a club team, as a club team, I'm not sure would just work too well.
I completely agree. I do. I'm not disputing that in any way. I just... it wasn't his fault he got promoted to a level of incompetence, and he did quite well considering.
It's Stuart Lancaster's real legacy, the ability for us to continue talking about his job 2 years after he's left. That's a real talent.
Well, seeing as we've mentioned Lancaster, shall we just mention his Leinster boys and their victory over Munster away?
I didn't see it.
Away from home. Now, I've not seen the game. What I have seen is Jordan Lamore.
Right, have you got this hit? Can I watch it? You able to get it for me?
Probably.
If not, just describe it.
So he fields a kick 15 metres inside his own half, beats the first man, beats the second man, and then just accelerates away.
He is so fast.
He made it look too easy. It was really good. Here we go. There you go. Fields the ball. One step, two steps, and then he's gone.
Oh my word, he looks rapid. And it's frozen.
And your internet cuts out.
Shouldn't do. I spent a fortune on this insert. Oh, there he is.
There he goes. And so that was 65 metres.
God,
Zeebo just about gets across, but doesn't stop him from scoring.
Too late. And do you know what I like most about that that game? Is how Leinster and Munster dress themselves in block uniforms, block kits.
Yeah.
Looks like one of those schoolboy birthday cards.
Like table football.
Yeah.
Red men versus blue men.
Big news down at the rugby dungeon here.
Yes.
Huge news. We're going to start putting out some videos soon. Try reenactments using our rugby Sabutio kit, which I have procured.
Have you got it?
You've procured. Yeah. You take all the plaudits. I'm joking. It's fine. No, I have. I saw a table football Sabutio set and tweeted a picture of it.
Yeah.
And JB was straight onto me going, have you got that? Is that yours? Do you have that?
Do you own it? Can we play it?
No, I just saw it. I just took a picture of it because I saw it and thought it looked cool. And then we made it our mission to try and get one, and one of our listeners came to the fore again.
And all I did is swap it for a tie. God, those Bowden Barrett replica ties really go down well. I swapped it for a tie, and there we are. So it's in the post. Should be with me tomorrow. So we can make some nice videos and recreations of classic plays using our ultra-high-tech rugby Sabutio.
Hell yeah.
So like when Will Greenwood's got his 80-inch touchscreen television. Perfect.
We're still one step ahead of Clive Woodward's flip chart.
Yes, we are.
Oh, Clive.
Before we get carried... I think that Jordan Lamore try is very good. I think there's two tries that were scored this weekend which are substantially better. But you can tell me about them after Tim tells you about Cornerstone.
I've just put a bit of Toblerone in my gob. Can you do Cornerstone?
Yeah. Cornerstone, razors, you order them online, you shave your face, they're really good. And they come every week for as little as £4. Aluminium shaft, that's brilliant. You can put your initials on it. I put mine JDB. Although other initials are available. And they just come to your door. They just get delivered. They're great. That's it. That's all you need to do. You go to Cornerstone / Egg Chasers or Egg 10 at checkout.
You know what's really good? You know what's really good with them?
Go on.
Do you ever go on and play about with your settings? Because I kind of go through some phases where I'm shaving like 3-4 times a week. And then some phases where I get lazy and I shave kind of once a week.
Do you know what? I've actually cancelled my Cornerstone subscription.
What?
Do you know why?
Why?
Well, I've suspended it. I literally can't get through the razors. I can't.
You've suspended it?
Yeah, I can't. I've still got 3 boxes of razors upstairs because they just seem to last forever. This isn't me just idly plugging them. They actually do. In fact, that's why I've got your... forget that. I can't say I've got your shaft. Anyway.
Oh, you have got my old shaft.
You have got Phil's shaft.
Yeah, you've got my old shaft. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've got so many of these old razors to use. They just don't get one.
So it's even more cost efficient than you were thinking, and it's still cheap at £4 for a free shaft and 6 wonderful precision engineered razors. Get involved. Yeah,
exactly. Using a mainstream shaving company is more expensive than developing a crack habit. So don't do that. There you are. So the two tries I was referring to are scored by which individuals?
I assume you're talking Alex Lewington.
Yep.
And
yes.
One or both of the two. Well, probably the second one from Josh Adams.
Yeah, I'd say that this game...
What a find. Where's this? I mean, he's been on the radar a little bit, but not like this.
He's bloody Welsh. Can you believe it?
I know.
He's really Welsh.
That is quite remarkable. So, he's 22.
Yep.
And he was at the Scarlets
before
this, and then Worcester have just picked him up. And presumably he's going to be firmly on Gatland's radar.
Well, I mean, it's a toss-up, isn't it? Who do you want on the wing, Alex Cuthbert or Josh Adams? I mean...
So Steph Evans is locked in position.
Even though he didn't have a good autumn, yes, I think you're right.
George North is out, injured. What? And you're looking for your third man, and you've played about with Hallam, Amos, and Cuthbert's always
Amos is
in
very
there.
Good, I think. Cuthbert is... But why not Josh Adams? How exciting having on one wing Josh Adams and on the other wing Steph Evans.
That is exciting.
Dynamite. So I'm all for that. And do you know what? If those two weren't available, I'd then give Aled Brew a call.
Yeah.
I would. I absolutely would.
Aled Brew is playing some very nice stuff.
Yeah. Big, strong ball carrier. Got to see him up front in the Bath game.
Yeah.
Why not?
So
I'm not knocking Aled Brew, and he has had some good games, but that right there is reasons not to be cheerful as a Welsh rugby fan.
Aled Brew had a brilliant game against, actually two brilliant games against Toulon.
He's terrorising French teams down on their south coast.
Are we dishing out international caps for two good games or a few good games?
Well,
I'm not saying he's not having a good season. He is,
look,
but come on,
Aled Brew, right? And I'm not saying. This is not going on my whiteboard, all right?
I think we're saying that Aled Brew, if you've got kind of two or three or four injuries, he might be the fifth or sixth choice for Wales.
With the exception of the Dragons when he was there last time round, he's been pretty much top try scorer in every team.
Didn't he go to France?
Yeah, he did really well at Biarritz. So, you know, he's always scored tries. He goes to the Dragons, which were a joke, and he's doing all right now.
Mm.
Yeah, he is. There's no doubt about that. Director of rugby in charge of team who are staring relegation in the face after an important defeat calls for ring fencing shock.
Yes.
Is that what
Nick Kennedy's
announced?
You know what? I'm with him, though. I think he's 100% right. It's just unfortunate for Nick that when he was down in the Championship, obviously he was all for promotion. And you can't get rid of these sound bites, can you? Once they're out there forever. But I'm with him. I think he's right.
Yeah, I do think the biggest news story coming out of that Worcester London Irish game is Worcester are now 10 points clear of Irish.
Yeah, well, I think Northampton are going to get dragged into it.
Have you seen London Irish's fixtures for the next four rounds of Premiership game or five rounds of Premiership games? They've got Newcastle at home, they've got Sale at home, they've got Worcester again, I think.
Have they?
I think so.
Yeah, it's weird how the fixtures work out because Sale had Wasps first day of the season and Wasps last day of the season. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I think they've basically got Newcastle, Sale, Gloucester all at home.
Yeah, there's a win there somewhere.
Pretty winnable games.
They play Worcester mid-February, so in only a few rounds' time.
They've got a few problems. I mean, I think their pact is a lot of whinging. That really worries me. Like, Coman and Blair Cowan are continually in the ref's ear, and they're just yellow cards waiting to happen. The other thing is, their attack looked so stale. They couldn't do anything with the ball.
Just give it to Lewington. That is the
and they don't do that
the
enough.
Summation of their attack.
Yeah, there's the ball carriers aren't quite big enough. Yeah, it's more their attacking shape that worries me, though. I think that's their biggest problem. They just can't do anything with ball in hand.
Mm.
In terms of those fixtures that you outlined, I can't see them really winning any of them.
Let me quickly rattle. So I do. I'm not saying I think that they will evade relegation, but next six fixtures: Newcastle at home.
Yeah.
Then they go away to Leicester. They won't win that one in the first week of the new year. Then during the Six Nations, they are home to Sale Sharks.
They won't win that. They'll go away
to Northampton, home to Worcester, away to Wasps, and home to Gloucester. There's probably four very winnable games in that.
They have to win all four of them, I think.
Quinn's away.
They need 15, 16 points out of those games to have any chance of staying up.
I think, because
Worcester will pick up wins, and Worcester will pick up 4 try bonus points, and they'll pick up losing bonus points.
Mm. Yeah, Worcester are playing very well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, I've had a thought.
Yes.
Did I mention this on the last podcast about my improvement to penalties?
The penalty scrum.
I think so, yeah.
Have I told you about the penalty scrum, Tim?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll leave it then. Boo.
Just before we get off, one more game I want to mention, just very briefly, just because of the sheer number of tries, was Wasps-Gloucester. Now, I've seen the extended highlights. I didn't watch the full thing. But two teams that are looking very sharp in attack.
Yep.
Neither team looking particularly strong in defence, but it made for a very entertaining game.
Yeah, Christian Wade in a scrum hat, what's all that about?
Don't know, but he was running very nicely. Mm-hmm. And Willie LaRue actually looks like an international fullback.
He looked all right,
again.
Didn't he?
He's the last couple, after having some awful performances earlier in the season, he's starting to find some form.
I would say 3 matches ago, he looked like a Wasps fan in a replica shirt.
Yeah. Whereas now he is actually looking like somewhere near the money that they will undoubtedly be paying for him.
Yeah, he's not worth the money. Even on his current form, he's not
Philip,
worth it.
Oh, go on. Sorry, Philip, I've just looked at our WhatsApp. You have a quiz of 2017?
I do.
Did you say?
I do. Should we do that now?
Should we do that and then do next week's fixtures? We'll rattle through next week's fixtures.
That sounds very good.
What a good idea.
Have you both got pen and paper?
No.
JB, can you get a Word document or something up on there?
God, I suppose so.
Tim, have you got pen, paper, something you can type your thoughts onto?
Yes, I certainly do.
Okay, so 12 questions. This is
wow.
Most of them are just single answers, so most of them are pretty fast.
Okay.
And this is to test your knowledge of all of 2017. So going right back across some of the headlines from the year.
What a year it's been as well.
Oh, have you been really organised to pick one from each month?
I haven't, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not that organised. It just happened that I stopped at 12 questions.
12. God, yeah. Okay. Let's go.
Okay, first, earlier on in the season, who was the top point scorer in this year's Six Nations?
Interesting one.
Okay, I'll have a guess.
Question number two.
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
Number two. In June, Jeff Parling announced that he was off to Japan for 6 months, followed by a stint in Super Rugby. But for which Super Rugby club will Jeff Parling be playing for next season?
Okay. I think I know that one.
Question three. Easy one. Who did Scarlets beat to win the Pro 12 final in May?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Got it.
Okay.
Question four. Why did Alex Edwards and Sandra Wihongi make headlines in June?
Say again.
Why did Alex Edwards and Sandra Wihongi make headlines in June?
Okay.
Okay.
Question five. Who won the 2016-2017 Rugby World Sevens Series in May 17.
No idea.
Got it.
Question six. Angus O'Brien was top point scorer in the Pro 12.
Okay.
Who does he play for? Angus O'Brien. Top point scorer in the Pro 12.
Okay.
At the end of 2017, so this is question seven, end of 2017, who holds the Nelson Mandela Challenge plate?
I know none of these questions.
So it's which team holds the Nelson Mandela Challenge plate?
I know who doesn't hold it.
Okay. Question eight.
Is that more or less... revered than the JB Cup?
Substantially less.
I would say more.
What?
There is an actual trophy or an actual plate that gets exchanged
for this one. Whoa, hang on. The JB Cup, right, is the rugby equivalent of Bitcoin. It doesn't have to exist to be to be brilliant.
To be,
it's a virtual
valuable
trophy.
Question number 8. This one should be easier for you too. Three players transferred from Leicester to Gloucester over the summer. Who are they?
Yes, I know this one. Thank God.
Leicester to Gloucester.
Leicester to Gloucester. Three players.
Yeah. Oh, three.
Two are relatively easy. One a bit more difficult.
Is there a point for each, or only a point if you get all three?
1 point for each.
Okay.
In the summer, Leicester.
Okay.
Oh, I'm doing horribly.
Okay. Question 9. I want two names for this quote. So I'll read out a quote. There's an official or a coach or a DOR or someone like that who gave the quote. I want you to tell me who that was. And it's about a player. Okay. So I want you to tell me who that was. 1 point for each.
Okay.
It's my opinion, but I have the impression that in certain clubs and among many players, cocaine is very popular. We've had the alcohol stage. Now we're at another one. We can't support that. That needs to stop. So, the senior person who made the quote and the player that the quote was about, please.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Question 10. Who was named as fly half in the official Premiership team of the season
16-17?
Done.
If it isn't this guy, the question's invalid.
Question 11. What was the last result Leicester achieved with Aaron Major in charge? So I don't need to know the exact. Okay. I don't need to know the scoreline, but who did they play and what was who won? And finally, can you tell me the breakdancing DOR who guided Crusaders to their first Super Rugby title in however many years it was?
Yes, I can.
I don't think I can. What's his name? Oh, yes, I can.
All right, I think then. Here we go.
Okay.
First question.
Farrell?
Yeah, so this is top Six Nations point scorer. JB says Farrell. Tim says?
I'm pretty sure it's Camille Lopez.
Camille Lopez.
I remember from Phil giving us the breakdown of that in March.
Camille Lopez is correct.
God's sake.
67 points.
Tim's got 67 points for that.
Question number 2. Jeff Parling, where's he off?
Otago?
Highlanders. Tim?
I've guessed the Rebels. I've no idea.
Rebels is correct. He is off to the Rebels.
I did wonder.
Question 3. Who did Scarlets beat in the Pro 12 final?
Leinster or Munster? Leinster.
I've put Munster.
They beat Leinster in the semi-final.
Oh!
Which meant they beat Munster in the final. Tim takes a 3-0 lead.
This is bad. This is real, real bad.
It was. They were back in Dublin for that game as well, though. Question number 4. Alex Edwards and Sandra Wihongi.
I think they won a World Cup.
So you're saying Women's World Cup?
Yeah.
Tim?
Sandra Wihongi. I'm assuming that has something to do with Karina Wihongi, the prop. So I'm going to say that Alex Edwards was a journalist who criticised her husband and they had a big Twitter spat. I don't know.
No. No points for anyone. So Sandra Wihongi is mother of Rico and Akira Iwani.
Alex Edwards is the Lions fan who slept on their couch.
Exactly. No points.
Or a blow-up bed on their lounge. Yes.
Yeah. No points there.
That was a great story, that.
Yeah. Question number five. The last year's World Rugby Sevens series was won by...
England?
It was won by South Africa with Cecil Africa himself being the main man.
Correct, Tim.
This is not...
4-0. Here we go.
It's not getting any better.
Question number six.
I think you're more confident on this one than I am. I haven't got a clue about Angus O'Brien.
Angus O'Brien, top point scorer in the Pro 12 last year.
I don't know. I just guessed Connacht because I can't think of it. They're the only one whose fly half I couldn't think of.
Is it Scarlets?
It's not Scarlets.
I've changed my mind from Treviso.
Neither of those are correct. It's Dragons.
Oh, I did know that.
He played at fly half all season for the Dragons last year.
What, no international call-up?
23-year-old Welsh fly half.
Yeah, good for him.
Mm. Who's been kept out of the team by 36-year-old Welsh fly half, Gavin Henson. Nelson Mandela challenge plate.
Not South Africa, surely.
Tim, have you got...
I just guessed it was one of these trophies like the Calcutta Cup, so yeah. I said Argentina.
Argentina is incorrect.
So,
who have you gone for, Jay?
Australia.
Australia is correct.
Yes!
4-1.
Well played.
Here we go.
The comeback. Okay, three players transferred from Leicester to Gloucester over the summer. Who were they?
Balmain.
Owen Williams.
Oh.
Ed Slater and Fraser Balmain.
Yeah.
Correct.
I had Balmain, Slater and Williams.
Correct. Three points each.
Oh, that's no good.
So the best you can do is draw.
So there are one, two, three, four. Yeah, four. Yeah, that's exactly...
I can win.
Oh, no.
No, 7-4.
Yeah,
7-4.
JB can win. Assuming you get no points, Tim, JB can just about win. So,
I don't. What's happening?
the cocaine quotation. Who said it and who is it about?
Richard. It's 2 points for this. Is there?
Yeah, there are 2 points for this.
Oh, well, this could be a game changer because I've got nothing written down. I haven't got a clue.
Okay, so I think it's about Marcus Bradbury and
Magnus Bradbury.
Magnus Bradbury. So,
oh yes, you're right.
And Richard Cockerell.
Richard Cockerell, you're right.
Incorrect.
No!
It was Mourad Boujalet.
Yes.
And James O'Connor.
Wow.
After his Parisian incident with Ali Williams.
Oh, God damn it. That was over for me.
We could. The pod.
Yeah.
So, Steno. I'll just go through my answer now. I've got Steno. I've got a big win versus Gloucester. And I've got Scott Robinson as my last three answers.
Tim, any re-raise?
Jimmy Gopith, the Anglo-Welsh Cup against Gloucester and Scott Robertson.
So you both get 1 point for Scotty Robertson. It wasn't Gloucester Anglo-Welsh Cup. They beat Northampton at Franklin's Gardens.
Oh, did they?
They did.
No longer seems like a massive achievement.
Yeah. And fly half of the season... Was Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
Yeah, so Tim wins 9-5.
Well done, Tim. Well done on a hard-earned victory there.
Maybe even... Well done,
Phil, on a fantastic quiz and all your quizzes throughout 2017.
Thank you.
Right, here's an advert.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, that's your advert done. Shall we do our
What did you think of that advert, JB, on this occasion?
I thought it was brilliant. Clear, concise, to the point. Should ship a lot of products.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Lots of products.
I mean, if you want your business in that slot, just let us know, and we'll we'll hook you up. So there's an advert about the adverts.
Very good. You're never off duty, are you?
Never. Right. Let me just write that down. Right. Shall we do our predictions for next week? Unless anyone has got anything else they want to talk about.
The only thing that's probably worth mentioning is CJ Stan Rees.
Oh yeah.
So that happened just before Christmas, didn't it?
Yeah. And it's hot on the heels, isn't it, of
Omani
re-signing.
But the first news that broke was just how much Montpellier were offering him, which was allegedly €840,000 a year.
That is a lot of money. I can confirm it's a lot of money. Montpellier are spending money like a rapper with 24 hours to live. It's staggering.
It is.
Could you get around some of the salary cap if you paid a portion of salary in Bitcoin?
Presumably, you could, depending on...
Or any other cryptocurrency.
Well, it depends when you...
Yeah, the exchange rate at the time of transaction would probably have... Because it's so volatile, if you made that transaction when Bitcoin was particularly cheap...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And the player was willing to accept a potential rise in value of that Bitcoin.
Or potential loss. But it'd be no different from paying them in FTSE 100 shares.
Yeah. They're slightly more volatile, Bitcoin.
Well, yeah, it is at the moment, actually. It's very volatile.
same principle.
Or paying a fly half in South African farms. I mean, providing they want to accept the form and the volatility which comes with the form, they know where that story came from.
Yeah.
Well, there will have been players that signed a deal to come to the UK and play just before the 20% devaluation of sterling in 2016.
Yeah,
so,
but,
there you go.
Oh yeah, I guess so. If you haven't paid in any kind of foreign currency or any other currency, you're gonna have to accept some sort of fluctuation, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why they couldn't do it. As a player, I don't think I'd want that.
Yeah, I'm not certain I'd want it.
Because also you could
get paid in land in Africa somewhere instead.
Yeah. That'd be very nice. I wonder if any team has ever thought of doing that.
Yeah, interesting.
We'll have to look into that further.
They've already got a fairly handy back row.
Yep.
They've already got a fairly handy squad. It looks like he's going to be either back up to Pickamalls or as a starting six.
Yeah, it does seem like it, doesn't it?
So, or it would have been until he re-signed.
Although, allegedly, and I don't know, I've not seen much of Montpellier play, Pickamalls hasn't quite hit his straps yet.
I don't know. I'm not sure about... Well, the games I've seen, he has looked good.
Mm.
In the same way that Pickamalls always looks good. Because he just does so much.
I miss him so much. He should have stayed in the Premiership.
I know. Such a shame.
Mm.
Shame for the league.
So great news for Irish rugby. I think it's good news. I think it's very good news for CJ Stander.
Yes.
Head turning money, yes. But ultimately, he has a bit of a reputation anyway from people like Tim. And I think his reputation would have been utter mud if he'd have gone to France.
Rightly so, I think. If he'd have gone.
It's hot. It's not. Yeah, I guess so. It's the Ireland jersey that messes things up, really.
Yeah.
If it was just another back row, it'd be fine. But because of the residency rules and all the rest of it,
if he was just another South African back row playing his trade at a regional club, then that's one thing. Because he's got Ireland and then the British and Irish.
I was going to say the Lions, I think, added to that. Because that's a huge once-in-a-lifetime thing for many people. And a player who you may, if you're lucky... I know that's the opposing players, but if you're lucky, you may get that once in a lifetime, and that's the pinnacle. Yeah. And you might have had someone feeling very hard done by.
Agreed,
definitely. Fixtures,
do it.
So Pro 14, we've got the derby matches again.
Okay.
So Zebre play Benetton. This is Saturday the 30th at 2 p.m.
I can't see us going any other way than Benetton spanking Zebre again.
Your beloved Benetton.
Yeah, they're too good. They've got Dean Mum back in the lineup. They're just a good side.
Then 3:15, Glasgow versus Edinburgh.
This is an intriguing one. I can see this being an absolute hammering for Edinburgh.
So you say Edinburgh played 74 minutes with 14 men,
yeah,
and won. There is no way that even with 15, you could give Edinburgh 16 men this week, I think, and Glasgow is still going to win.
Agreed. Do Edinburgh go back, do they turn back to what they know works for them and only start the game with 14?
Well, so you have to go for a more simple game plan when you've got 14 men.
Yeah.
You keep it tight, you kick a lot, you kick chase, energy. Follow that game plan. Don't try and play anything other than what you played with 14 men.
Do you know what the sad thing is about this situation they find themselves in? This is actually exactly what Alan Solomons would have told them to do. And it's not another knock on Alan Solomons. This is how he plays his rugby.
Yeah. So big win for Glasgow, that's going to be.
Yep.
Then 3:15 on the 31st.
Yep.
Just as you're getting glamming yourself up to go out, JB. Cardiff Blues host Scarlets.
Cardiff Blues, Scarlets, please.
Give me Scarlets. I tell you what, I watched most of the Dragons Cardiff game.
Yes.
Pretty ropey conditions. It actually became quite an interesting game because Dragons scored a couple of late tries to make it.
Dragons are slowly, like, they're still a bad team and they still have got not very good players.
It did feel like two bad teams, in
yeah,
all honesty.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what it feels like, isn't it, watching that particular Welsh derby. But there is confidence around the club. And it's weird, though, even with the same players, just the news of reinforcements it seems to have shaken them up
gives,
a bit.
Yeah, gives everyone the boost.
So, yeah.
So we're saying Scarlets.
Yeah, Scarlets with a big win, I hope.
Then 5:35, Dragons host Ospreys.
Dragons host Ospreys. Ospreys should win this.
Ospreys.
Yeah.
But I dearly hope Dragons do.
I think Ospreys will win. Then on Monday the 1st, when you're nursing a hangover, JB.
Yeah.
Leinster. So 3:15, Leinster host Connacht. And I think this will be a comfortable home win.
Really? Even though Connacht hammered Ulster? Yeah.
Don't read anything into anyone hammering Ulster.
Leinster at home, isn't it?
Yeah, Leinster at home. And then Ulster hosting Munster, which I just have no confidence at all.
Oh dear, poor Phil. Is that it? Have you missed? Oh, the Cheetahs play, of course.
No.
What?
So they didn't play this weekend, just gone, and they're not playing next weekend.
So when do they fit their derbies in?
I don't know.
I mean, everyone
European
was...
week.
They are playing a derby.
Ah, yes, that's a good point, Tim.
So they're playing, 13th and 20th of January, which will be the European Champions Cup.
Yeah, we'll all be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's worth just highlighting what a great couple of weeks this is for rugby clubs up and down the land in the leagues as you move down from the top tier.
Because
there's some brilliant derby matches. Doncaster v... I was going to say Leeds, but Yorkshire Carnegie. Is a tasty game. And then you've got this one caught my eye as well. Maesteg versus Maesteg Harlequins in the Swalec Welsh National Division 1.
Why did that catch your eye exactly?
Because it's Maesteg v Maesteg Harlequins. I love all the derby matches. Like Colwyn Bay versus Llandudno.
So I always play in one of these games. I either play for Llandudno when there's like a Boxing Day game on, or I'll play for Colwyn Bay. And if things fall right, I'll play both because I just can, right? These are just, you know, the Boxing Day games that they play, vets or whatever. How poor is this? How utterly piss poor is this? Colwyn Bay were organising their Boxing Day game, which I've been going to now for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
Not only could they not raise a team, well, they could raise the team, the lads came down. The committee did not even open the bar. They wouldn't give them the keys to the clubhouse, only to the changing rooms. So, plague on all your houses, Colwyn Bay committee. Absolute disgraceful behaviour for a grand club who, quite frankly, deserve better than what you idiots are actually providing them.
So no game for JB?
Yeah, no game, but message sent.
Very much so.
Oh.
Right.
Let's get to the Avicii then.
Avicii. So Friday night, we've got 7:45, Bath versus Wasps.
Ooh.
Now, I think this will be an interesting game.
Yeah. I think Bath's luck has run out, basically.
Should this be our Las Vegas game of the week, looking at the fixtures?
Should we not go for the... yeah, maybe this is the game of the week.
Do you want to be...
All right, LeoVegas.com is our partners, our friends. Brilliant rugby betting options. Get the mobile app. It's dead quick. It's as quick as that that lad for Leinster. What's his name?
Jordan Lamore.
Lamore.
It's that quick, and they've got the best range of betting. They
and
love
they actually
rugby
have rugby odds. You actually don't have to struggle to find them, which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Genuinely, it's genuinely very good. We don't listen. If you listen to a lot of podcasts, you'll hear a lot of people do these little liners for various products and things, and that is how you cover costs, and it's how you keep things going and keep the machine working.
Mm-hmm.
We are very, very careful about who we work with, so I will never promote something I don't believe in wholeheartedly.
If I could have cigarettes sponsoring this dungeon, right? I'd have weapons companies, I'd have big oil.
Yeah, big oil.
I would take money from Scientology. I would take any money to get of this podcast. But yes, you are more judicious than me, Tim.
I spy an idea for 2018, like trying to test JB's boundaries. Kim Jong-un gets in touch with a...
Yeah,
with sponsorship.
You could have the right. IS game of the week on the rugby dungeon.
The IS Islamic State game of the week.
Wow. We are joking. LeoVegas.com. They're brilliant. They are awesome. And our game of the week is at the Rec, Bath v Wasps on Friday night, 7:45 kickoff.
Right. So Bath's luck is running out. What they're good at. I think they're all quite good up front. They're pretty muscular. But there's only so many pieces of the puzzle that you can remove before you no longer even have a puzzle. And that's what they're doing. I mean, you can't have a competitive team and have as many replacements. And they've done this for 2 years now. And everyone gets on my back saying, oh, well, you know, injury crisis, that. But they did it last year, and they brought in a load of people that we never really heard of, and they've done it again this year. So this year they've gone across the Severn Bridge and got substandard Welsh players. So it happened at Sale, and I think it's going to happen even worse at home to Wasps, who will tear them to shreds.
Now, Bath, just on the injury crisis, they are missing two of the best players in the league, in Talupe Faletau and Samita Rokodaguni.
Yeah, but they also have like Lowe, who is still a genuine beast. You know,
Let's cancel for the purpose of this matchup. Let's cancel Faletau because Wasps are missing Nathan Hughes.
Nathan Hughes. Yeah.
You remember Bath came up to the AJ Bell, right, with probably the most expensive 10-12 combo in the league.
Well, I guess if you count Reece Priestland as a 12, which is where he was playing.
Exactly. So,
but Reece Priestland is not a 12.
My point isn't that they're spending money on really good players. Well, they are spending money on really good players. My point is, yes, they're spending money, but it all seems like square pegs in round holes, and that's exactly where the Reece Priestland Burns combo is probably. Well, it's one of the worst combos that I've. That I've seen playing 10-12.
Yeah, they won't be playing that again unless they absolutely have to. Unless they really are that short.
Yeah, because it simply doesn't work.
And there's no Benny Taps and there's no Max Clark. And I mean, I'd much rather have JJ at 13 and Banners at 12.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's not a bad option.
Because I don't. I also think the way that Reece Priestland plays doesn't allow Freddie Burns to be as creative as he is because he's not got that threat to give to.
Yeah.
And they don't work like two typical distributors. Go on, Tim.
We've gone over the injury thing, but I do think it is worth just saying they are missing a load of players. And Talupe Faletau, Dave Atwood out of a team is some pretty guys. Their front row, and what they've got, they're missing guys in the front row, but they're also as we've talked about before, the guys they had who looked like a few years ago they were going to be future England internationals are now shadows of the players they were.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they've got issues they need to address. However, this is Bath at the Rec, and I don't think you judge them on a trip to Sail Sharks a couple of days before Christmas when they were abject by their own standards. But I don't. I think this is a litmus test for them, and if they're serious top four contenders, I expect them to play well. I expect it to be close. I could see this going either way. I think it'll be really tight.
I don't. I think it's one way traffic to Wasps.
Now, Wasps' attack is working brilliantly. They are Eastman's come in as that second playmaker. Sippers is looking good. Willie Roux, Christian Wade, all working very well.
I think, now, in particular, Eastman will be very effective against Bath.
Now, one of the things that Bath have done exceptionally well, regardless of who's been on the pitch, and something they did phenomenally well in both games against Toulon, was their defence. Mm. They did it brilliantly against Scarlets earlier in the season, and they've done it twice against Toulon. And Blackadder has got that defence so organised, so well drilled and so well disciplined that I think, so on paper, I think Wasps should win. But I think that Bath team is going to suffocate and starve Wasps.
Yeah, they've got a lot of dog in them, Bath.
Yeah, I think it'll be very close.
They're definitely better than the players that they put out. But like I say before, I think their luck's run out. I think the two long games really took it out of them. Sale really showed them up. Just a word on Eastman, though. I think he'll be effective because Eastman is very much the rugby player's rugby player. I think you have to play alongside him to realise how good he is. And I think he'll actually frighten Bath. I think there'll be a lot of talk about Eastman prior to the game.
Yeah, he's quite different to a lot of players they play. So what are you saying then, Jay?
I am saying Wasps by 20.
Tim?
I'm thinking Wasps, but I'm just going to chuck a curveball in and go Bath by 4.
Wow, big shout.
I'm going to say, I think you're right on the points difference, Tim. I think Wasps are just going to edge it. I think it'll be Wasps by 4.
Mm.
And that is the...
There's our Leo Vegas game of the week.
Right.
LeoVegas.com and their mobile app.
Sorry just to go back into this game. Right. The reason you're wrong, Phil.
Yeah.
You in particular are wrong. If it's a close game, Wasps will lose. But I don't think it will be close.
Yeah.
I don't think Wasps will dog it out with anyone particularly well. But I think they can blow them off the park. If it does turn into that scrap, that's when I think Tim will be right.
So I think that Wasps will probably control a lot of the game. Mm. But because of the dog in Bath, they'll just sneak it.
Mm.
But we will see. We will see on Friday night.
We have passed the halfway point in the season, and there's only 4 points between them. Wasps have had a bad start. Bath had a good start, and they've gone in an inverse. So this is a big, big moment in the season for both sides. Well, particularly for Bath, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next game then. So Saturday, Gloucester host Sale Sharks, 3 p.m. at King's Home.
Gloucester at King's Home, isn't it?
Yeah. Gimme Gloucester.
I think Sale will win this. I think they're looking for a statement. I know they're looking for a statement. Statement. Victory.
Diamond's always looking for a statement, isn't he?
But I not only do I think they want to do it, I think they can do it. And they were so impressive against Bath. They didn't concede a single try. If they can contain Gloucester and then get their own attacking game going. You know, do you know what I said? They're the best team of ball in
something,
hand.
Which is something Exeter and Saracens haven't managed at King's Home this season. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. If they can get their attack going, it's not going to be a problem.
So JB saying Sale, me and Tim saying Gloucester. Then a big game,
huge game
in the season. London Irish host Newcastle. Newcastle fresh off a good win against Quinns, a very narrow win against Quinns.
Right. Are we thinking Toby Flood is any good? Where are we with Toby Flood?
We haven't really seen enough of him. I think he's only played, about 4 or 5 games this season.
So he's been injured for a lot of it.
Yeah.
He's come into a team which were doing quite well and developing under a young fly half. I thought his first game was pretty poor, actually. There again, he had a really good game last week. And the question I'm sort of mulling around is putting this 30-odd-year-old fly half, if he's 10% better than, you know, Hodgson, is it worth it when Hodgson was developing so well?
I think Richards in particular will want his experience of big games.
Yeah.
And experience of knowing how to win.
You shouldn't judge Toby Flood now. He hasn't played many games, but going to Irish is a game that, bearing in mind the form they've had, they should be going. We're going for 4 points, so let's see if he brings it home.
Just go 5 points.
Yeah, they'll take four, won't they?
Yeah. okay.
Irish have to win. Have to win this one.
I have seen nothing which makes me think that Irish can win.
I'm with you on that.
That first game of the season, they look really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just they don't play with confidence. Their ball in the hand is terrible. It's not terrible, it's just not very good. They don't look like full timers. In terms of
what was pointed out in the build up on BT Sport.
Tim, we forgot to mention a hero of the game let himself down badly on the weekend.
Oh.
Did you see O'Callaghan?
Oh,
my goodness, I did.
That was one of the worst incidents I have seen on a rugby field.
Yeah.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I will,
say that,
because we know what happened. We saw it.
I know what it looked like.
I would have sent him off for an HIA.
I'm 100% with you there.
Do you know what I would have done?
If you go down holding your head, you have to go off.
Yeah, and not only that, actually, he pretended to be knocked out. So that you actually override the HIA at that point and just send him off.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
100% should have happened. It was a joke. And the worst thing is who he is. You'd understand if he's some sort of kid, you know, or just trying to milk a penalty as some, you know, journeyman. This is a legend of the game. A true legend. It broke my heart, and he should be ashamed of himself.
I'm with you.
Right. Sorry, where were we on this game?
Irish absolutely have to win. That's what I was saying. BT Sport in the build-up to the Irish-Worcester game highlighted before the match how London Irish lose a load of tries from first phase, and then they went and lost two tries from first phase.
Yeah.
It's so... Which suggests to me it's either, like, ability or... Well, no, actually, it's not even ability. It's just
mental, either the...
It's really bad organisation, but I don't think that, because it's basics. You know who your man is, or it's attitude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, hang on, it's defence. So it's one of two things. It's line speed
or
attitude.
Attitude.
You know, one of those two things. Okay.
But the positive of that is it's solvable.
Mm.
And I'm... Do you know what? I'm going for an Irish sneak in a win.
I'm not, because now you mentioned the first phase thing. And you think about Newcastle. And Newcastle do have good strike moves with powerful
balls. They do. Cicino, power. Harris, power. Gonover, power.
Yeah, Gonover or Sonotti. Sonotti. You've got four guys there who can either come through the centre or off the wing.
Yeah.
It's a lot to contain.
And they're very well structured. It's going to be a big Newcastle win, I think.
I don't think it'll be a big win, because I think it will be brought down to a scrappy level. But I think Newcastle will win by
10.
7 points, yeah. They'll win by a score at least.
Newcastle by a score. Saracens will comfortably beat Worcester.
Yes, correct. That could be 20 points. 20-point win to Saracens.
Quins will comfortably beat Northampton.
Yeah.
No, I'm not having that.
You're not?
No, I think it'd be very Quinsy to lose this.
Yeah, but Quins have lost a couple. They've lost three on the bounce. So the Quinsy thing to do after losing three on the bounce would be a big win.
Yeah, but not against Northampton. Saracens, yeah.
Yeah.
Having that. Toulon, definitely. Northampton by three. Do you not think it's strange that Dickinson or Dixon, or what's the DOR called now?
Sam Dickinson.
No, Alan Dix. Alan Dickens.
Right, Alan
Dickens.
He looks like Jim Allender's lost weight. He looks like an ill Jim Allender. Wow, Jim's really taking this hard. Yes, Northampton. Next.
Give me Quins. Give me Quins by two clear scores, 15 points.
Northampton by three.
Okay.
Final.
Queens by 10.
Queens by 10, yeah. Final game, Exeter host Leicester.
Oh, poor Leicester.
Yeah, this is just what you don't need. To get back on the horse, going away to Sandy Park.
There is no way they win this. Exeter bonus point win.
Yeah. Exeter, we didn't really mention the Northampton-Exeter game.
No, we didn't.
Exeter, Chudley starting, scored a brilliant try.
Yeah, is it chip and chase? Or...
It was, yeah. Didn't really see much positive from Northampton, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. And Exeter squeezing out a 82nd minute try to get the bonus point.
Good.
Was very, very impressive from them. So, give me Exeter by 12 points.
Chiefs. Yep. Tim?
I'll refrain from giving a prediction on this. I wonder, do you think I should, when I'm working at a game, do you think I should give a prediction?
Yeah, definitely.
Fine.
My gut feeling says Exeter. Well, no, not even gut feeling. Exeter should win.
Yes.
I suddenly thought, if I'm working at a game and I've got to go and stand with Matt O'Connor, you know, we're a big deal, guys. People listen to us.
That is true. Also, it's giving us a tremendous amount of credit, and you a tremendous amount of credit, thinking that we could influence the game. Although, imagine if something happens, like you prevent the quick throw-in, Tim. After, you know.
Tim knocks the ball out of Johnny May's hands.
I've got an accumulator going on, leovegas.com.
Exactly. Or, like, or you're holding a coffee and then someone tries to get your attention. They lunge forward and you spill the coffee on a player, or you know, some crazy train of events which leads to an accusation of you match fixing.
Kind of credit for nominating the right team.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you got to be careful.
Mm. Yeah, you do. Although, Exeter. And that brings another fine podcast to a close. Yes. We wanted to make sure you had something for this little between Christmas and New Year window.
Yeah, when you don't really know what day it is.
I don't know what day it is.
I think it's Wednesday today, but it I don't is. Really know.
I want to go out for a beer tonight, but I've literally got no friends left.
I just find myself thinking any time of day or night is appropriate to eat cheese.
It's
awful.
Do you know what I did? I taught myself.
And wonderful.
I've not got any family in the house now. They're all still in Wales, and I like going and dining on my own. It is one of life's joys just to take yourself to a restaurant of your choice and not to talk to anyone.
I do actually really enjoy eating on my own.
Yeah.
Eating a nice... I'll have what I want. Check my phone. I'll read what I want.
Yeah, no one's going to call me rude.
Yeah.
Or unattentive.
Yeah.
I'll just read the politics news.
Yeah.
So, right, let's bring this to a close. You can find us on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, on Instagram, which we detailed earlier. I'm not going to do it again. And on Facebook. And make sure you do download the podcast, subscribe to it. And most importantly, it is important, we do appreciate it, please leave us an iTunes review. Push us back up those charts. Or don't. It's up to you. Right.
And on future podcasts, because we've had loads of emails on this, we will be getting right into and ramping up towards the Tier 2 tour to Madrid in March, which is getting ever closer. So hit subscribe and then we'll get into that.
Yeah. Oh, and one last thing before we go, gents. When this is downloaded tomorrow, we will have hit 4 million downloads for the year. So congratulations to us. That is in the 12 months. So all going strong here.
Very good.
There you go.
Good. How do you like them apples?
Exactly. Yeah. Righty ho. See you later.
Bye.
In a bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.